Welcome to our Composites Launch podcast episodes of Composites 360 on Tour. We bring you the brightest minds, influencers, and most important subject matters to your attention. We are here to cover the most current dialogues, presentations, and events in order to bring you the most creative ideas with the mission of creating sustainable value. Now listen to our latest episode and leave us your comments.
We have now a composite panel, and therefore I ask to stage the moderator, Ilkay Özkiziaoglu, sorry if I mispronounced it, from the Composites Launch. Then we have panelists Christian Heller from CH Aerospace, Steffen Kress from Mubea Aviation, Nicolas Ecke from Sense Experts, Victor Jimenez Bisterfeld, and Simon Bendry, Dufour Aerospace. And the topic is the requirements for fiber-reinforced composites in eVTOLs.
The hard work of composites teams should be shouted from the rooftops. We're on a mission to give your solutions better visibility and reach, to make them more widely known in the market and gain the appreciation they deserve. To make lightweight construction and specialized technologies available to end users, as well as attract projects, customers, and talent, join our Composites Lounge community. The Composites Lounge community is open to entrepreneurs, C-levels, specialists, and managers who want to create a better world with their innovative composites and play a key role in the success of their company. So if you're a hidden champion who isn't sure how to best promote your work, join a supportive and innovative community which is focused on making composites achievements visible to end users. The Composites Lounge community celebrates and promotes the best innovations, lightweight construction technologies, and sustainable solutions in the automotive, aviation, renewable energy, oil and gas industries, and many more. Get involved at compositeslounge.com.
So thanks for the introduction, ladies and gentlemen. So we are coming slowly to the close of the day, but let me ask you one thing. Is the materials industry prepared to enable eVTOLs to fly? Have you considered that already? I mean, you're considering wind, infrastructure, hydrogen all the days, but let's now dive into the materials. And in my conclusion, I will tell you, yes, they are. So with me, we have Christian Heller. I forgot the clicker. Where's the clicker? Sorry. Yes. So we have here Christian Heller. He's an expert in the aerospace industry and has his own company. Then we got Simon Bendry, he's the head of design of Dufour Aerospace. Then Victor Jimenez from Bisterfeld, a German group of company, but he's obviously from Spain. Then we got Nicolas Ecke, and Nicolas will bring in the AI part into the materials, into the science part, the data part. And finally, we got Steffen Kress, he is at Mubea Aviation in the business development. But who are we? Composites Launch, we are a group, a digital network on LinkedIn, purely on LinkedIn. So please go over there and follow us, give us a like. And this panel will be also restreamed on the 20th of February, so that your colleagues can enjoy also our discussion. We do this together with the Jack Group. Jack is a media hub and the leader in composites when it comes to promoting composites as a nonprofit organization. In 2 weeks' time, they will have this festival, the Jack World in Paris, which will invite you. And finally, today we will talk about the requirements on materials for the eVTOL flying. And I really enjoyed all your input there. And now we would like to go into the details of materials. As I said, please check out Christian, Simon, Victor, Nikolaus, and Steffen on LinkedIn. We will dive directly into the matter because time is scarce. Let's start with Christian, so what? Where do we start from a prototype to serial production? We've seen a lot of different kinds of models are flying around, but let's walk through this developmental part.
We all know how a conventional airliner looks like and how a helicopter looks like. When you start building an eVTOL, you have no role models. You start from a blank sheet, you have no role models, and you have no regulations, or you had no regulations in the past, which means you won't start with a prototype, you will start with a technology demonstrator. And what is important about the technology demonstrator, you need to get material, doesn't need to be certified, doesn't need to be the lightest one, you just need something quick. You need lots of changes coming, so available material, and the important thing is it flies.
Absolutely, it must function.
Right. Next step is then going to a prototype. A prototype means you're already looking at certification. Certainly in eVTOL business, a prototype is not a one prototype, it's a constant change. You will have lots of amendments, which means also that material-wise, you won't go into toolings, so not looking at low weight, not looking at low cost at the very beginning. But during the development phase of the prototypes, heading nearer to a pre-serial aircraft, one day you need to decide, when do I go to this? But in this first phase, larger suppliers may not be the right partners because they're not that quick. They have their processes, which is very logical. They are suppliers to the aerospace industry, to Airbus and the likes. You need small, agile companies to go quick. And then you need to find the right point where to switch to something which later on might be certified.
Okay, wonderful. So let's dive into composites are often known as what? From which fiber? Guess. Carbon. Have you heard about carbon fiber? Carbon fibers. So my question to Simon is, why carbon fibers are the great facilitator or enabler for eVTOLs?
Okay, so carbon fiber as a material has several important properties. One is it's very high strength and high stiffness, and impressive fatigue performance, and those are all the positives, but you have to temper that with that there are weaknesses in through fiber strength and in interlaminar shear. So it is a very good material, but I think Christian touched upon a good point just now that with an eVTOL, you get to start a design from scratch, which means you can design it for composite and how to use carbon best. So I'm going to review to some notes. So one of the benefits with carbon with eVTOLs over aluminium, as I said, is the material properties. Another one is the manufacturing process. So aluminium tends to be made in lots of smaller parts and joined together. Bolted joints add weight. Carbon structures can be made into quite large structures and used with bonded joints, which are much lighter. So the fact that you can make things more intricate with carbon can give benefits for the aircraft itself, such as pilot visibility, or the ability to make complex shapes within single components, which you can't do necessarily with aluminiums. Bonded joints is preferable as well. Historically, and I worked on aircraft where we've had sort of a black metal approach, where we tried to change something that was aluminium to make it into carbon, but by integrating it with the rest of the aircraft. And on bolted joints, you have an interaction between bearing and bypass, and that actually degrades the carbon strength, so you don't get as much out of it. Whereas if you use a bonded joint, you don't get that. So if you're able to use carbon in the way it's intended and design your aircraft from scratch, you can get very good results. And at Dufour, we have patented manufacturing processes for the use of carbon. So we started very much with an idea to make a whole carbon aircraft, and we've designed the aircraft and the manufacturing processes and all the analysis processes to support the design of that.
So, Simon, this means there's a lot of deep knowledge available within your company. Now let me talk to Victor, Victor Jimenez from Spain. Victor, let's do not kid ourselves, but knowledge about materials, you know, you need the experts in your company. What are the difficulties and the challenges there?
Well, there are a lot of challenges right now. We have seen a lot of technical challenges this morning here from the different presentations. And there are social challenges that they are on the table. We haven't solved them yet. And I will put you a word for this, knowledge. So because we are doing something that is completely new, hasn't been done before, there is no knowledge in the market, in the people who knows how to do the job. So we are seeing a trend for the companies to develop this knowledge internally. But this takes a lot of time, this takes money, and for the startups, money and time, they are is killer. So what we are receiving as Bisterfeld as a material distributor, raw material distributor, is, let's say, the request from the companies to be part of their design and to try to fill those gaps in the knowledge, specifically in the raw material aspect. And I think we can tell a lot of successful stories about this. And, well, we have, obviously, a very technical expertise in the company. We have probably more than 100 years experience, not in one guy, it's more than more people. And in designing for Airbus, for the big OEMs, big defense contractors in composites with shop floor experience, so we can really help those companies to develop from the beginning, from the design phase, to give them the knowledge about the material, how it performs, and up to the shop floor, how to laminate and how to put the material, the carbon fiber. I think the learning from this for the eVTOL companies is try to avoid having just suppliers for the raw material. Try to bring on the table partners who are able to provide this technical expertise. They have the willing to go and work with you with your challenges on the material, because this is quite a big cost saving. Yeah.
So fortunately, skill development, you say, takes time and takes a lot of human resources, but fortunately, now we have AI, künstliche Intelligenz. So Nicolas, künstliche Intelligenz, AI, does need a lot of data, but can we then work with that data in eVTOLs? Now the development cycles are there, the people aren't here. How can AI help us?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very common concern, right? As soon as people learn that whatever solution you offer includes machine learning, AI methods, one of the first questions is how much data, how many data sets do you need to you know, get to start? And in you know, people have this image in their head that you need thousands, tens of thousands of data sets, and for some applications that's true. For us at Sense Expert, what we bring to the table is domain knowledge, right? So we don't just take some data and apply a method to it blindly, but there is the domain knowledge. We know what the material is doing. We know how certain factors affect composite materials, affect polymers, and we can bring that to the table, right? And so that really shortens down the time until we have a first working model. Another thing that we bring to the table is our own measurement technology, right? So we look into what the material does on a molecular level inside, during manufacturing, inside of the mold. And you know, all of that combined allows us to work with as few as, let's say, 50 production cycles. Once we've seen those, we are typically able to at least have a first working model, right? This might not be the end of the discussion. So as we see more data over time, we might still tweak and grow better. But 50 production cycles, in some cases even 20, is enough to at least make a first step.
Mm-hmm. So, Steffen, you come from a company that produces not only for the automotive but also for the aerospace industry. So now you hear 50 data sets, which in the automotive industry is nothing, to be honest, yeah? But in an eVTOL context, it may be changing the world. So how do we approach eVTOL? More like a car industry or more like an aerospace specialized, maybe Sondermaschinenbau?
I mean, in the end, when looking into the development work on how you approach it, what you have to factor in is obviously the volume, first of all, that you're looking into, and also the certification, Christian, as you were also referring to. So what we're seeing is, of course, that strong trend then towards the aviation industry for that, and also because of the production volume that you're looking into. Because even with those 50 or whatsoever, yes, we do work for Bugatti. That's the annual production volume. But when we're looking into the automotive business that we are considering, this is already way above any of the production levels that we also see in the very foreseeable future on the eVTOL side. And therefore, yes, we are looking into processes and also material certification-wise. This is closer towards aviation industry. Whatsoever goods that we have with the interaction, you see the customers being more in the discussion together with you, as you know it from the automotive industry. So you can really work together on design for manufacturing. So this is where you bring in some of the automotive approach there.
Okay. So by the way, we have three rounds here. So that was the first round. That was around the developmental cycle. So we've discussed more from the developmental aspect. And now we are diving deeper into the materials. And what I want to know from Christian is, Christian, on which material do we rely in which developmental phase? Can you walk us through those developmental phases from a materials point of view?
Yes, previously said, as answer to the first question, it's at the very beginning, you do not care about it as long as it takes the air. At the end, for eVTOL, all those OEMs here know that weight is crucial, but also cost. So not the same thing. And then, of course, certifiability, which means you may go to additive manufacturing, which gives you low weight, rather expensive for metal. For plastic, it's not structural, really. Carbon fiber, you need molds. Takes time to build molds, and then to change them is expensive again. Same for glass fiber. You can think about thermoplastics. So it's very much depending on the aircraft, on the application, on the load on those parts. And you cannot give a general answer which is the right thing for which aircraft. It also depends very much on the quantities. We've heard Ehang this morning, thousands of aircraft, thinking about other 50, the Bugatti number, and where do we go? We do not know yet.
So when we don't know where to go yet, Simon, let's dive into this material, still with the material part. You've mentioned that the materials interplay is also very crucial. So we have maybe on the one side metal, on the other side we have carbon, but how do they interlink? How do these connections work? And do we have in an eVTOL special challenges here?
I think we do. As I said earlier, a lot of the companies took a black metal approach originally, and certainly when I was at Airbus, we took a wing skin and made it out of carbon instead of aluminium. But then we bolted it to a load of aluminium structure, and we had a number of problems at those joints. I mentioned bearing bypass already, but you've also got thermal strain interaction. Carbon strains at a very different rate to aluminium. It's much stronger, so what happens if you have a large strip of aluminium bolted to a large piece of carbon is the aluminium just breaks up into lots of smaller strips relatively quickly. You've also got galvanic issues. Effectively, you can create your own little battery with an aluminium bracket bolted through steel to a carbon structure. So you have to be very careful to add zinc or glass protective coatings and protect structures. So there's a lot of processes you need to follow and you need to be aware of. Carbon is also conductive when you don't want it to be, and it's not conductive when you do want it to be. So with electric aircraft, the risk of shorts through the structure
if the electric systems are not properly grounded is also something. So these are unique features of the eVTOL aircraft. But as I said earlier, you're starting from a blank piece of paper. So if you are able to design your structure to be homogeneously linked, and something that we've done at DO4 is to look at, as Christian said, you start first of all with something that works. So I started with laminated carbon structures, but using aluminium brackets, which we bolted or bonded to those structures. What we've gradually gone through is a process of then developing 3D printed and forged carbon brackets to replace the aluminium brackets. That means that they integrate completely with the carbon structure, and then you remove the bolt issues around bolted joints, issues around thermal incompatibility and galvanic corrosion and stuff like that. So it can be done, but you do have to know what you're doing and design the aircraft for that standard and in a way that you can then certify.
Excellent. So we've talked about the material features like lightweighting, non-corrosive, and one of the presentations this afternoon were about the comfort. Is this gentleman still here? About the who does consider passenger comfort as a feature? And this is something that I would like to discuss with Victor, because we have a proposal for you, because we are thinking of comfort. And what do you have? How to reduce, for example, noise with the materials construction?
It's true. We have been looking at the noise of the aircraft outwards. So what is the noise that the aircraft creates? And this morning we had the project from vertical, which was very interesting. But what happens with the noise inside the cabin? If you think of a helicopter, for example, the noise is quite loud, so you need to wear special protection. And it will not be the same because you have a turbine, you replace the turbine by a motor, but there are a lot of other noises that you will hear inside the cabin. For example, the vibrations from the propellers, they will propagate quickly through the carbon fiber because it's very stiff, and it will create noise in the cabin. So how to tackle this is something that we have been trying to investigate with one of our suppliers of material at Bisterfeld, and they are working on multifunctional materials that can not only do, let's say, a structural part, but also noise damping, vibrations damping. And they have a very, I think, very promising material that is, the name is Cribon. It's an elastomeric adhesive. And you can, the nice thing of this is you can put it inside the laminate. So you can put carbon, the adhesive, and then again carbon, and you get a very interesting advantage in terms of noise propagation, vibrations propagation in the structure. And well, it has some other applications, but I think for the eVTOLs, this could be a big point. It's already used in automotive, in aerospace. So yeah, I think it has to be taken into account from the first phase of the design, because you have to design in order to break the propagation of the noise in the structure, but it's very interesting.
Yeah. So just to avoid a misunderstanding, because carbon and cribon sound very similar, two different products, as we know. And let me come to Nikolaus. Now, Nikolaus, our materials in composites, they are either thermoplast or duromers, thermoset materials, classically. Of course, there are then elastomers and ceramics, but let's focus on thermoplast and thermoset. So one of the concerns in the industry is always that cycle times in composites are way too long. Consider it with a press, body in white parts, body in black parts are often very long cycle times. So how can AI help us to reduce these cycle times?
So, of course, I'm mainly going to explain our approach here, right? And that is looking at what the material is doing on a molecular level, right? So we're really determining a degree of cure, for example, a TG in situ as the part is curing. And then see, you know, if we can dynamically control, because you have deviations in the material, especially in thermosets. You're going to see deviations from batch to batch, often even from cycle to cycle. And so that gives you potential to optimize. in a highly regulated environment, of course, that's always a fairly critical thing to do, right? When to have a certified process, you're going to want to leave that alone. And so key there from my perspective is to come in as early as possible, right? Because this approach is also applicable, of course, during development, right? And so that's the time where you can still make adjustments with, you know, reasonable effort. And another thing that I'd like to point out is that you can, of course, also, there's room for improvement beyond cycle times. So even just in monitoring alone, being able to not only say, okay, the temperature at this point was within a certain envelope, but really saying the molecular state of the material is, you know, is according to the requirements. That's a very strong statement, and that's something that goes beyond, you know, traditional process monitoring.
So in materials, we assume always to increase productivity, to reduce scrap, and this is what we are actually doing. And now, Steffen, thermoset or thermoplastic, what's the way to go?
Well, depends on what you're looking for then in the end. I mean, thermoplastic, I mean, there's an ample discussion around it. You mentioned the process time, where on the one side it could look promising. Recycling, our number of companies are looking into that one as well. Specifically when we are talking about the application then for eVTOLs, and as Christian was relating to as well, we have to look into the development cycle in where we are, the tooling costs around it, design changes, and, well, the capital available. And so therefore, what we have seen everywhere that to start off with, we always talk about thermoset solutions initially, and then also considering the tool cost, design changes, which there might still occur or which often enough occur. Then when talking about then that higher scale production, is it thermoplastic? Is that the answer? A lot of the cycle time we're looking into is also when it comes to the preforming of the carbon fiber, which is actually eating up a lot of the time as well. So it's more of the away from the black metal design until into a real composite design, which is often enough then more helpful than just thinking plainly about the material system in itself. In the end, to say yes, every material will have its unique application on the aircraft for the specific volume, for the cost, and for the weight benefits that it's offering. We do see a number of different propulsion system, and obviously every kilogram has a different price with each of the system profiles that the aircraft is being used for, and based on that, then the decision will be taken.
By the way, we are recording this session, as you may have seen, with this camera here. This camera is, fun fact, slightly special in that after 30 minutes, it shuts off. Do you know why it shuts off? Only for customs reasons, because otherwise it would be a video camera and not a photo camera. Anyway, so we did now the short break here. Let me then move on to process optimization. As I said, materials always assumes reduce cost, reduce scrap, or increase output. Now let's increase the output. And one of the ways to increase output and also the flying time and everything is to get also the downtime of an eVTOL down. Now, let's imagine your eVTOL is 24/7 on the fly, but now it needs maintenance, it needs a repair, right? So how to reduce downtime, Simon?
So, yeah, traditionally, MRO, that's maintenance, repair, and overhaul, has been the biggest cost to an operator, followed by fuel. And so with an eVTOL, we now have electric-powered aircraft with very few moving parts, so the system should require a lot less maintenance than a traditional, certainly a helicopter with gearboxes and drive shafts. So we need to look at the structure and make sure that we are designing and building a structure that has a similar level of reduced downtime. And this is where composite and carbon specifically comes into its own
As I mentioned earlier, the fatigue properties of carbon are significantly better than aluminium. An example of this, the A350 that Airbus recently released has a design life that's 4 to 5 times higher than the original A330 that effectively it replaces. And that was achieved through the use of carbon. So the way having millions of fibers within the structure means that you have lots of miniature load paths within the structure, not one big piece of metal. Cracks don't propagate through it in the same way. So therefore, you're able to significantly increase the time between your inspections. So you don't need to ground the aircraft and look for cracks. You don't need to catch a crack before it's gone critical. And therefore, your scheduled maintenance times are lower. eVTOLs are also looking, because they're new aircraft, at ways of health monitoring. And again, those aspects can be taken in. So traditionally with aircraft, you ground them for inspections. You may not find anything, but you've grounded the aircraft. You're not flying, you're not selling a seat. But then you find cracks, so then you have to repair and you have to replace items. So two things there. Firstly, carbon doesn't crack in the same way, which means we're not really looking for cracks. If we health gauge up the aircraft and are doing health monitoring, we can then do preventative maintenance. And if you design your aircraft to be modular, as we've done at DUV4, we can then look to replace nacelle units or tail units or a wing. And therefore, that's modularly available. You can swap that out very quickly onto the aircraft, and you get the aircraft back in the air as quickly as possible. You can then do your lower-level inspections on the structures back at base and refurb things and get them back in. So both in the design of the aircraft and the use of carbon, you can significantly improve and reduce downtime.
So reducing downtime during the operation is a nice thing to have and must have for everyone. But until those materials, and we heard it several times today, are certified, a lot of cost, energy, and time evolves. Victor, how can a startup reduce the certification of these materials? Does every startup has to do their own certification of their materials, or are there ways to reduce those?
Well, there is a cost associated with the certification of the materials. In general, in aerospace, there is nothing cheap. Everything is expensive. But as far as you are flying and you are flying with passengers, you have to certify. And every single material you put into the aircraft has to be certified as well. So you have to go through a qualification of the materials. In terms of composites, it's typically, for an aircraft, structural materials, you would need to certify 4-6 materials, imagine. So you would need to spend easily a couple of millions, 3 million, and spend probably 1 year or even more until this qualification is completed. So it's very expensive, and for a startup, it's again time and money, so it's a killer. I'm going to tell you a story that repeats very, very frequently when we go to customers and we go through the material selection, because customers typically want the best material super fitted to their application. And before we start the meeting, we just tell them something that surprises them. So just to put a bit of background, you cannot take a qualification of a material that has been done by anyone else, because obviously it's expensive. So the specification and the design allowables, they are their property. So you cannot take anything done by someone else. So the customers, they come to the meeting afraid of what is coming, the cost and so on, and we say, guys, I don't know if you know, but there is a database publicly available with specifications and design allowables of a wide range of materials, of composite materials, that you can access, you can grab it, you buy the material, and you can use it for your aircraft, because those data, they are trusted. They are backed by FAA and EASA, so you can use it in your aircraft. And they something laugh. They think this is too good to be true. It's not. It's actually, it is the Wichita State University in the U.S. They have made kind of a wide range of material qualifications, and they call it the NCAMP. It's a national composites material for high performance or something like that. And you have around 20, 25 materials, and the biggest contributor of this is Syensqo, former SciTech, which is biggest manufacturer of composite materials. And you can find epoxy formulations, thermoplastics, you can find any type of fiber from standard modulus, high intermediate modulus, and fabric, UD, glass, S2 glass even. So I think it's a very good start for startups, and you save a lot of money. You don't save the 2-3 million, but you spend maybe 10% of
a
this.
A significant amount,
yes? Exactly.
Okay, let me come back to Christian one more time. On the material side, we were talking about thermoplastics, thermoset, but I understand also elastomeric matrices. Elastomers are also an important contributor in eVTOLs. Where are elastomers used, and are they already certified, like Victor says?
Elastomers, and mainly high-performance elastomers, are used in conventional aircraft for the combustion engines, for the wings, movable surfaces, and for the interior. Combustion engines, at least if it's not a hybrid aircraft, no. Moving surfaces less, there's not the speed. Remains the material for cabin, which is mainly comfort, prevent the passenger from air current and giving more comfort. And again, we have here weight versus payload, and every kilo I put into comfort will go away from my payload, and payload is a big issue. So I think, to my mind, there's few applications for this one, and as long as the battery ranges are not higher, you will go to a very pure interior. And as we heard this morning from Manta Aircraft, integrating a climate control in the aircraft is not typical today. You're going to Dubai and you may not have air conditioning. So I think this is something which comes at the midterm, but for the moment being, there's not a big market.
Okay. So, Nicolas, now the colleagues say, okay, we have downtime reduction during the operation. That is what Simon says. Victor brought us a few features how we can select some categorized materials which have already some basic certifications. Now, let me ask you, because you have a deep understanding of process technologies, do eVTOL producers or anyone who is in the plastics or composites industry, do they need to change their processes just to have a new certification on their process, or is there a way around now with AI?
So, of course, there are established routes that you can go. This is what you just mentioned, right? If you have a material that is pre-qualified, you follow the prescribed processing, then you are on the safe side. I think the discussion becomes a little bit more crunchy once you talk about optimization, right? I want to be as efficient as possible. And then, of course, you're not going to make any improvement without changing anything, right? And so that's kind of where, I guess, a mindset issue also comes in. You cannot just stay, this relates to what I mentioned earlier, stay within the certified, a fixed certified process and expect anything to change, right, for good or for worse. And so if you want to discover any hidden potential and optimize, obviously you're going to have to adjust. Ideally, you do it early on, right? And that's the nice thing in the eVTOL business. You know, many projects are still in a development phase where you can make adjustments before everything is tried, tested, and fixed for, you know, indefinitely. And so that's, I think ultimately I'm hoping for an approach where you also don't say, okay, and as long as my temperature is consistent, I'm fine. I'm over-exaggerating, right? But that's kind of the approach. I'm fixing process parameters, and then I'm trusting that the parts are going to be consistent. But there are intrinsic fluctuations, right, inconsistencies that you don't catch. And the mindset, in my opinion, should be, I don't want the process to be consistent. I want the part to be consistent. And if the material has deviations, then my process needs to be adjusted dynamically. That really gives you the optimum outcome, and really the reproducibility of the component, the part, and not the process.
Yes, and that means that documentation can help here, right? So you produce documentation that ensures the certifier that the process is intact. So we are coming slowly to the end. Glad that we stay within our time limits, which is really unusual for my panels. So thank you for your discipline, gentlemen. Steffen, what factors should be considered when adopting automotive processes technologies for eVTOL manufacturing? Now we are not talking Bugatti, now we are talking Volkswagen Golf, right?
Well, hopefully if we reach that volume, but this is absolutely the fair question, or the one of the inputs to be considered. What volume are we actually talking about for what component? We do see it in the automotive composite business that it's highly depending on the volume that we're doing, into what level of automation, into what level of invest you're actually therefore going into. And therefore then together with the certifying, with the authorities, to say, okay, what is actually possible, into what can you do? So this is really one of the greater triggers, together with the what I had mentioned before, what is the kind of euro per kilogram that you are willing to spend here when you are following that route.
Okay, wonderful. So in conclusion now, my conclusion is I've presented you a panel today on materials, and we as a material industry, we are ready for eVTOLs. So you're looking for skilled labor, we've discussed that. We are looking for downtime reduction, we've talked about that. So these are all no issues. We have AI in the system, and from the raw material to component manufacturing, all the developmental cycle, we've discovered it, and we've seen that even the automotive numbers could be reached if we are really successful. And that was the reason why I asked this Lufthansa gentleman whether the eVTOL flying to the airport will be a first-class experience or tourist-class experience. I personally hope, because of the numbers, it will be available and affordable for everyone. This is how the eVTOL industry started promoting and giving us their marketing promise. And by that, I'm concluding the materials science is ready. Materials are all available. We've proved this today to you. And now, if you have any questions to our expert panel, please ask your questions. We have, I think, one more minute. Anyone on carbon? You are on carbon?
What about the repair solution?
I'm coming to you with the microphone.
What is state of the art in repair solutions? So if you get a crack and you hear it and you cannot really detect it, how you handle that? I think it was a big issue in the automotive, and what's about in this topic here?
I think Simon is the best to answer that, yes.
So it's actually relatively easy to repair. It's a very good process. So we started this 20 years ago with Airbus looking at how to repair composites, because the way that you create a laminate is a step-by-step process. You can effectively just reverse that to remove the damaged area and then repair it and bring it back up to spec. But as I said, you don't want to be doing that on the aircraft. You want to have a modular approach where you can take a damaged nacelle off, replace it with a brand new one, and then repair and refurb something and then make it back available for spares. I think, again, if you can design your eVTOL to support that, then you can then offer the operator what they need, which is minimum downtime, repairability. It may not be commercially viable to repair. That's something that the industry can look at, but certainly the technical ability to do the repair is already there.
Any more questions? Okay, if not, then just a final reminder, our expert panel, beginning with Nicolas, Sense Expert. You will see them at Jack World next week. Please come and see them. We got Biesterfield at Jack World, and we got Mubea at Jack World, and I'm at Jack World too, so we could then deepen our discussions. And by that, I'm thanking also the eVTOL show organizers for this fantastic show. When I was approached by Andrew, where's Andrew?
Outside.
Outside, okay. Andrew, thank you so much. Then you will see, listen to it later. When they approached me, can we have discussion on these composites materials? I said immediately, yes. You know why? Because eVTOLs are through and through with composites. And if we don't influence this as a composites lobby, who will do that? So it's in our vast interest to get composites and eVTOLs up and running. And I'm very bullish after what I've heard today. I think we have still a few things to regulate and to certify, but I think it will be a great and successful industry in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. So, two more to go. I know it was a long day already, but two more to go. So the next one on stage, please, Kalin Stoyanov, Head of Business Development at Dell AI. So another and the last AI topic for today.
Hello. So let's start. So my name is Kalin, and I work at the Dillion. We are proud to call.
Where people see thought leaders bringing up the latest topics and trends, particularly in the composites industry and advanced materials, we are seeing people working on sustainability and our future. To this end, thank you for listening our Composites Launch podcast episodes on Composites 360 on Tour. With expert and engineering talks, online live stream panels, and panels at subject exhibitions, we are here to serve you with the latest content that is available in this industry. Whether it is reporting from the market front, like the aerospace or automotive OEMs, whether these are regional events spread all over the DACH region, Europe, or elsewhere in the world, we are here to cover those dialogues, presentations, and events in order to bring you the most creative ideas with the mission of creating sustainable value. Creating sustainable value means that we are connecting also the world with our partners. We invite you to join our Composites Launch Composites 360 on Tour on our digital channels. Be rest assured, Composites Launch brings you the brightest, the best, and the fastest topics on LinkedIn, YouTube, and here on your favorite podcast on a weekly basis. Stay tuned.